Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Life is full of personal wins. I'm still waiting for mine. Whether it's cleaning your house or getting that dream car, winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto. Chrissy, you're always on top of all of this.
Well, I am very deficient in some areas, but this is not one of them. I also love how personal State Farm is. I love my State Farm agent, Mike. Shout out to Mike. And guess what? Today, you guys can talk to a State Farm agent to learn how to bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, wait for it, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount on discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The all-new 2025 Infiniti QX80 was just revealed, and it's completely reimagining the luxury SUV experience. The QX80 actually anticipates your needs. It senses when your passengers are hot and automatically cools them down. And individual audio technology keeps everybody entertained while it separates music, phone calls, or Navi directions just for you. Discover an all-new way to feel just right and check out the all-new QX80 for yourself. Visit new-qx80.com. 2025 QX80 coming this summer. Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, Calm Down podcast, program number one in your heart. Jay Cutler will be our guest today. He joins us on the Calm Down podcast. Where are you in this setup?
You look great.
Thank you. I'm in the studio, my studio in Nashville.
My studio in Nashville. Are you at the Aldean's house? Is this where he's recording his next album?
I'm going over there this afternoon to watch the game.
Jay, by the way, welcome to the Calm Down podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I need to know on the reality show that you did, which I obviously there was a myriad of reasons you did it, but you came across.
There's only one reason I did it.
Well, okay, yeah, fair enough. but you came across so likable, and you're not like
you did.
We know you obviously from sports and life, but people that didn't know you were like, this guy rules, because you basically just like shit on anything reality TV wise and kind of opened up and like pulled back that curtain, like whatever. Did you enjoy the process at all?
There's parts that I definitely enjoyed. And we were fast. We were so quick. Like, you know, the producers would come in and, you know, we had a storyline and all this stuff, and they would come in and they'd be like, all right. And we really only filmed when the kids were at school, and we only filmed in a couple rooms in the house.
Yeah.
So, or, you know, if
great
we were on location
closet.
Somewhere. Great closet. Great closet. It's very true. But we would just, and they would come in and be like, all right, this is what we want you guys. This is kind of where we want this to go. And then, I mean, she grew up in that world. So like she was on it. So, you know, we would click it off pretty quickly. And an hour later, they're rolling out. So it wasn't bad. It was fun. I enjoyed it. There's parts I didn't enjoy. It was invasive, like having cameras in your house for like 4 months, because they would just leave lights up, like leave everything up.
Oh, I'd be afraid that the cameras rolling, and now I'm in a fight, and now it's a problem, and now we're recording.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were some fights that just we were like, this obviously isn't making it, so we're cutting that out. And Kristen was an EP, so kind of had final say on like every like last cut of everything. So
that's cool. I know you don't care about all the Hollywood stuff, and you've been really great about that. But it seems, and I'm not going to pretend to know your own situation, but it seems like you guys have a great relationship in spite of everything. Obviously, your three children. Don't even laugh at me. Yeah. I'm being serious. Like, that's hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say great. It's working out. I think over time it'll settle, and you know, it'll get better. But you know, you do the best you possibly can. And with three kids involved, like you've got, there's certain parts you just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, less is more. Less is more probably right now with, you know, our relationship, but it's fine.
Yeah. As someone who's an expert in divorce, I get it. Okay, Jay, we're going to have some fun with you. You ready for this?
Wait, can I ask one thing? I want to ask about, anything. Not even ask about, but I remember one episode, and actually my husband was sitting and watching. I can't remember, Jay, if you were painting. You were doing something. My husband's like being married to Monica Geller from Friends. He's really freaking OCD. Like, I always leave this analogy out there. If you go out and you have a really good time and you just like leave all your crap on the side of the bed, and it's just like, he's like, hey, so how long is that going to lay there? I'm like, it's been like a night. Relax. Like, it's fine, you know? But God, I forgot if you were like painting or just
we were painting the closet windows, actually.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And were you so just detailed with it? Like, you were, and Jarrett was like, I felt like he was really getting attracted to you. It was just like, oh my God, there's somebody else like me. Like, he was like, this guy's great. Like, he's great. And I was like, yeah, okay.
More like that was for camera. That was just for show. Like, I painted
You're not like that?
I mean, with three kids under the age of 10, like, they literally come home and just destroy stuff. So like, I found myself the last like year and a half, like being like, all right, I have to have everything in order. I've got to. But like, when they're gone, I just like, I don't care. Like, there's probably, I guarantee there's probably like chips and like a bunch of shit like out on the kitchen counter right now.
Let's say you're down at half by a lot in an instrumental game. You win and you're in the playoffs. What are you saying to your team? Are you saying anything? What is said? Go.
Well, I think you got to talk to the OC. Like, if you're struggling, you know, it's like, all right, like, why? What are they playing? You know, are they just zoning us out? They playing too high, you know, are we just missing blocks? Are we messing up? Is this a penalty situation? Are we just turning the ball over? Are we doing dumb shit? Or are they actually taking something away? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, if you just start running the football, like, you probably just weren't calling enough runs in the first half, and they're just daring you to run the ball.
But are you vocal? Are you standing up and saying something? Raw motivation?
Depends on the game. You know, I don't think I was ever a huge rah-rah guy. Then there's certain situations where you got to wake some dudes up. But I mean, I would want to have the conversation with the OC. Like, all right, this is what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? You know, this was a garbage call. This one was on me. This one was because the line sucked. This one was because receivers, you know, busted a route. But like, are we seeing the same thing, you know, feel-wise? Like, this is how they're playing the game versus us. And this is what we got to do. We either got to run them out of what they're doing, or we've got to, you know, figure something else out.
What happened with that interception? No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
Poor Matthew.
Or what adjustments? I'll never forget this, you guys. I was covering every Lions game because I was a baby reporter and got all the shit games. And it was the year that they fucking 0-16. And Rod Marinelli at halftime, I was like, oh, coach, what adjustments do you need to make at halftime? He goes, that's a great perfume you're wearing. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, this isn't going to work. I'm like, all right, I got to make up a report. I'm not kidding. I made up a report.
I've done that too for a coach that I didn't want to throw under the bus because he was telling me all the wrong stuff.
Dude, hey, attention. We can make up reports. You're not going to say anything that's going to put them in a bad spot. What were you saying, Jay? Sorry.
Wait a minute. 0-16. Like, what do you say at that point as a coach?
Exactly.
Like, you literally just have to raise your hand and be like, you know what? We're just not very good. We kind of suck.
I wish you would have said that. That would have been phenomenal.
It's the truth.
Okay, do you have any regrets, NFJ? Oh, sorry. No. Keep going. I wrote it down already.
Aaron, go.
No, I was just going to say, like, things to say. Do you have any regrets in your career? Something you wish you could do over?
Oh, I love that.
You know, when I was going through the draft, I was with, the Titans kept bringing me in just because I was at Vanderbilt. And Jeff Fisher was the coach then. And he was like, hey, you know, I asked Vince this. I asked Matt Leinart this. Like, he was, if you could change anything with your career, like, what would it be? And I was like, you know, and I thought there for a second. And I was like, you know what? I don't think there is. Like, it is what it is. You know, I'm sitting right here. And looking back on my career, there's certain games you want to change. There's certain plays you want to change. But like, at the end of the day, there's nothing I would change. There's nothing drastic I would change. There's nothing I would do really over again. You know, I like where I'm at now. You know, enjoyed my time in Chicago. There were shitty parts. There were great parts. You know, got three kids out of there. So, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I enjoy it. Looking back on it, there's a lot of fond memories. And whenever we went to the game, you know, we took the boys to the game. It was great being back. Everyone in Chicago was fabulous. You know, we went to dinner. Like, we had fun. So, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
Jay, I know I make fun of
you. You don't know what's going to happen. You change one thing and
yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
That's like a movie.
I know I make fun of you sometimes with the don't care comment. Yeah. Were you surprised by how big of a deal that became when you said don't care?
I don't know if I said it.
What do you mean?
Do you know the story?
Tell us your story, because I think I know the story that everyone, like, you were asked a question and you just said you don't care.
That's not the story.
Well, then set the record straight, Jay.
The story. I mean, I probably did say that in a interview at some point, but the story goes that someone came up to me in a bar in the bathroom, and we're in the bathroom. I'm going to the bathroom at a urinal, and he comes up and he's like, "Hey, you know, I went to Vanderbilt too." And I just said, don't care.
Right.
And that's
as you're holding
story,
your wiener.
Yes.
Whether well, yeah, happened, like who wants to talk about it while you're peeing?
I know. And whether it happened, I don't know. Or no someone else asked me about that. I mean, it very well could have happened, absolutely. But I can't verify yes or no. So I just say, I mean, probably did. I don't know.
Okay. Well, because it just became like this bigger thing and, you know, in the world of the internet, memes and all this other stuff that was like attached to you. So I wondered if you actually cared about that.
No, because after I heard the story, I was like, you know, it's
whatever.
I mean, I apologize to that bandy kid, but I honestly, I don't care.
Apologize to the kid at the urinal.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Guys, everyone loves a win, even if it's small. I had two big ones. I mean, congratulations to me. Let's celebrate. Finally cleaned out the fridge and the garage with all the nasty crap in the drawer from last Christmas, maybe even Thanksgiving. And I'm getting somewhere on my closet. Purging, organizing. What about you?
My big wins have to do with the cute little animals up at the ranch. Simba, who's my rescue, graduated. He doesn't have to stay in the crate overnight. He can hang out with the big boys at night. And also my sweet little baby chicks are thriving. So no matter if your win is big or small, it's still a win. And it calls for a celebration. And who's cheering right beside you? Say it with me, Aaron.
State Farm.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you. So talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
We couldn't be more excited for our guest today. It is one of our favorite guys, favorite NFL players on and off the field. Cam Jordan will join us. There is a recipe to beat Brady and company. You guys had it, and you did it decisively at the beginning of the year. So there is a way, I mean, given, you know.
Or last year.
And at the end of the year, too. Yeah.
So, but,
just pick one out of the four out of five.
You know, look, we don't have time to talk about how dominant you are. Actually, we do. what is that recipe, though? Because it's not just him.
Man, when I've been blessed to be a part of a defense this last like what 3 or 4 years that have been top five against the run. What do you finish 3 or 4?
You guys were number one like all year long.
And then we played the Philadelphia Eagles and then we dropped the freaking A.
Well, you stacked their stat sheet.
That's what I'm saying. Like anyways, and that's the last 2 years. Like it is frustrating. But you think about so you have a top tier run defense, and then our pass defense was decent those last couple of years. They started excelling this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what whether it be the emergence of a Debo, whether it be the congealing of all four you know, all five, I guess. Would you say the nickel, the two corners, the two safeties, just knowing where everybody's going to be. I mean, they took off. And we've always argued like, hey, if we get third and favorable, which in my mind is anywhere from third and six, like third and six plus, our defense coach would probably say.
I like that you're third and favorable.
Oh yeah, like third and seven plus would probably be more favorable. But I'll take third and six because that means the quarterback actually has to do more than just a slant route, right? He has to do more than just a first read. And if we get him more than just first read, now we can really affect the quarterback. And that's where you see a lot of that change happening with Tampa anyways. You get them third and sevens, third and eights. Now the route has to develop. He can't just toss one up, which he still can because he had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown
at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he had every receiver he could just toss up and probably win a 50-50 ball. But that's where you see pass rush happening, getting more hits, making them uncomfortable. Nothing says you're going to win this game like Tom Brady starting to yell at his offensive line.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I love that.
Everybody knows it. Like he threw his look. I didn't even see until after the game. He threw his
The Microsoft Surface.
Microsoft
Surface.
Yeah,
that thing hurt. Those windows were shattered after that.
No doubt. I said, "Oh, that's a fine. Somebody's got to find him. He won't even feel it." But like, you know, just yeah.
What's a fine for Tom Brady? Nothing.
Does it matter? I was like, does it matter? Quarterback money? Come on.
Is he a good trash talker? I mean, Cam, you're one of my favorites out there, and I love when you get to hear what you say. I mean, what are exchanges like with him when you know you're starting to get under the goat skin?
Come on. Is there such a thing? No. Again, he's probably chewing out his offensive lineman. He doesn't actually talk trash
to somebody.
He doesn't
talk to you guys?
No.
Ask Tyrann Mathieu.
Ah, see, so that means I'm not in his head. I got to do better.
Right?
I mean, he's literally like, you know, like you hit him, he'd be like, he'll look at you and look at his offensive line. But then again, I also never got that from
Dennis
like,
Allen,
you know.
Though. He had some words for your defensive coordinator.
That was my D-line coach.
Because the hair was...
That was Ryan Nielsen. Okay. Ryan Nielsen sitting on the sideline and they had exchanged. I'm over there sitting there like... I was like, yo, my coach might fight
him. What was he so pissed off about with the D-line coach?
I have no idea. Because he was like my coach... My coach came from USC. My coach played D line. You know, like I said, he was like an end that went to tackle, that went to nose tackle. So in his mind, like every snap that we take, he takes. So he was probably like fully bought in as well.
Yeah. Oh,
man. I just look at him. I'm like, if Tom and Ryan go into a room and there's no space,
Who's your money on?
I have my money on not Tom. I just think Tom lives too good of a life. He went from Michigan State to being
Michigan.
You know,
they would not like Michigan State
Who cares?
Of course.
Some Big Ten. But I don't even know what conference that is. That Big Ten?
Big Ten.
And I only say that because like when I was in school, they were another conference. You know, like they were.
Yeah, all the different realignments of everything.
Realignments.
So you're in your 12th, you just finished your 12th year. Right?
11th.
So you're 11 years behind you. Does it feel like a lifetime ago you started or does it feel like yesterday?
Yeah, because I mean, I remember beating Michigan State just because now, you know.
It's in
I
your
remember
head.
Beating Michigan State back in my sophomore year of college. I remember my freshman year of college watching DeSean Jackson return a punt return against University of Tennessee and like knowing he was going to the league. Like at 17, you're like, what a league player looks like. you know, like.
And still doing
like,
it.
Guys, yeah, and still. Like, yeah. I remember, like, you know, I remember all of it. There's key moments where you just realize, like, some people are just goated. You know, like, for me, it was DeSean Jackson. And then I came in with the class that had me, Javid Best, Shane Vereen.
Javid Best, there's
Chris
a name.
Conte, Mitch Schwartz. Like, our class hit all, like, there was six or seven of us that hit the league. And Javid Best beat DeSean Jackson in a foot race by, like, a step or two. And I was watching, like, I was like, this is just... unreal. Like, you know, like when you watch fast people race and then like elite fast people race, you're like, oh, there's another level to this. Okay. I was like, I thought I had quick twitch. I thought I was fast-ish. Not even in the realms. It's cool.
I think what I love about you, well, there's a lot that I love about you, but I know that you are just like a fearless, just unbelievable competitor out there, but you're one of the nicest guys to be around.
Shut up. You don't say
you
that.
You are.
Shut up. Don't you put that on the cosmos?
Laughing. Whoa, I'm a defensive lineman. We're talking about like talking like shit to Tom Brady. It's like Camp Jordan doesn't talk shit. He's a little sweetheart. But I don't know if I've ever seen you be an asshole on the field, Cam. Like, I know you rip guys apart, but you don't click, do you? I mean, you don't ever, like, switch.
No,
because you're still a sweetheart. I mean, I remember the whole like talking shit with like Cam Newton and the buy the thing of Jordan. Like, I got your Jordan and all that. Oh, I'm gonna drink my Jordan. I got the broom and all that. But it's like you're not.
I don't know where the broom came from. I don't know where the broom. I felt like the broom might have taken it one step too far. The broom wasn't me. I sent a bottle of Jordan wine to my man's because he seemed to be with his top hats and his suits. He just seemed to be a connoisseur of finer things in life.
Right.
And I just wanted to say thank you. You know, thank you for being at the helm of these, you know, three straight wins. You know, it's hard to beat a team.
You're
twice.
A smart ass. You're just not a jerk. Yeah.
I'm just a pure sarcastic. I consider myself a prick because I like that category. You know, I like you can't be a nice guy as a defensive lineman. I'd say sarcastic, endeavoring, semi-asshole. You know, like, not so much, but still sort of. If you ask my wife, I'd probably be full-blown asshole. Like, depends on the day.
How is that beauty in that wonderful family of yours, by the way? What are our plans for the off-season with the fam?
Man.
And are we pregnant again? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no. Impossible, cuz.
Whoa. Impossible? Nothing's impossible.
We got snipped.
Man,
that doesn't mean anything. Be careful.
No. I'm not Antonio Cromartie. Look, I sent
Sean Kemp.
Look, I sent all my specimens in. I was like, are we good? I was like, it's gone, right? All right. And now I'm Steph Curry. But, you know, I'm just here to like, you know, four kids is great. I thought I'd get two boys out of it. I got three girls. I got one boy. My boy's a pure alpha, which is amazing.
Perfect.
Like he's a straight fighter. I look at him and like, I try and get mad at him, but I know for a fact I've done 100% of exactly what he's doing. Like, I'm just watching him. And like, Nikki will look at me and be like, do you know where this comes from? I'm like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Oh, all of it. All of it. She's like, you did this when you were younger? It's funny that you say that. Yeah. About 5:30 in the morning, I'm up singing. Yeah. No, I don't care sometimes who's up. Yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. At 6 years old, I didn't care about the rest of the world. That's on me. Aww. And here my guy is at 5:30 in the morning, everybody's asleep and he's just sword fighting in his room, protecting the house from the greater dangers of the ether.
So sweet. But that's also why you're such a sweetheart with the three girls.
Yeah.
Are you braiding the hair? Are you
I've tried. No.
No. No. It's hard, right? Yeah.
They're all tenderheaded, and but I don't have his finesse. These hands are meant to destroy. Like, I destroy things with these hands. I don't fix anything in the house. I destroy things. Like, could you put in a light bulb? I can't. Can you braid the hair? Ah, I can try, but it's not going to come out well.
Honey, these hands built this house. Okay.
The
house of Jordan, which, by the way, that painting behind you, stay a while.
Yeah.
Who's the artist? Right? Let's give some cred here.
Right?
So
now
good.
Now I forget. Like,
oh, now you forget.
Okay, Josh Wingirder.
Oh, yeah. Josh. We know Josh.
Okay, perfect. You know, he's just a local 504, you know. Oh, so this was season, I think this was season one of Trust Levels.
So cool.
Background. Pretty. Like, look at the mustache. That was such an elite mustache.
It's such a great, yeah.
The handlebar? Of course.
Yeah. It was disgusting. It got in the way of every meal.
Ew, Cam.
I know. I'm just saying, like, everybody was like, why don't you go back? I will never. Like, I always wanted one and got it and was like, this is gross.
I like this one better. Hey, what's your favorite thing about being a girl dad? What's your favorite thing to do with your girls?
I don't know. There's so much. Like, I try it. Like, I semi joke, but they have so much love that I never knew. Like, there's too much love. Like, I'll literally, my saying is, I'm like, all right, daddy's had too much love. Too much love. Like, they're like, they hug and they kiss and they like hold all the time. And I'm just like,
no.
Like, the times three, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's time. And I'm their favorite more times than not.
Well, yeah, because you're not home as much as your wife is. Exactly.
I'm the fun guy.
You're the fun one. Of course you are.
Like, you know, like, and there's probably resentment there.
Oh, yeah.
You come home and they look at you and all they want to do is love you and hug you and they fight me.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
Do they like football? Do they like it?
Well, depends on which one. My eldest is like the girly girl, and I'm not sure how I got one. You know, mm-hmm. like my second daughter is, I think she could be a UFC fighter. Like, she's just overly aggressive,
scrappy.
Always trying to fight. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. just jabs on air. So I'm thinking judo might be for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is just too young. She's one. So we're giving her time to figure out what she is. But they love it. I mean, they love dressing up for it more than probably like actually watching.
Yeah.
I, I thought I had some sports enthusiasts. Like, you know, I took them to a couple of the Pelicans games individually.
Yeah, I saw those.
You know, like I get individual dates with the kids. You learn which one actually likes sports. My eldest daughter, she's, unless something switches sometime soon, she's just strictly there for pictures. She's she's already like just taking
posing.
Pictures of the team.
You can say
she's,
that for a lot of the WAGs too, you know?
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. Luckily I don't have one of those.
No.
Mine is purely competitive. Wants to be out there if she could. Luckily, she played basketball. She's too soft to play football. But had she, you know, I make fun of non-contact sports.
Well,
I gotta stop.
Cam, you do it at a high level every single year.
Cam, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for being you.
I know you guys kicked me off. Like, you kicked me off for the second
time.
You're never kicked off.
No, you're not.
You're never kicked off. We would have you on forever if we could.
No doubt. I appreciate you guys.
Love you, Cam.
Peace.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Guys, everyone loves a win, even if it's small. I had two big ones. I mean, congratulations to me. Let's celebrate. Finally cleaned out the fridge and the garage with all the nasty crap in the drawer from last Christmas, maybe even Thanksgiving. And I'm getting somewhere on my closet. Purging, organizing. What about you?
My big wins have to do with the cute little animals up at the ranch. Simba, who's my rescue, graduated. He doesn't have to stay in the crate overnight. He can hang out with the big boys at night. And also my sweet little baby chicks are thriving. So no matter if your win is big or small, it's still a win. And it calls for a celebration. And who's cheering right beside you? Say it with me, Aaron.
State Farm.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you. So talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
It is the NFL offseason, but we have the biggest name of the offseason. The winning quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford, joins us today.
Sweetest angel.
To talk to him. He has told us that this is only going to be the second time he's done a podcast. His first being Kelly's in the morning after. So we feel honored to have him on Calm Down. We will not calm down. So many questions to ask him about.
No.
His offseason, his time in Detroit, his wonderful family, and for all you Rams fans, the idea of running it back. So sit back and enjoy. So first of all, we'd be remiss if we didn't start off with the congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
What a time. Well, no, we're not congratulating you for being on. We're congratulating you for winning the Super Bowl.
That works too. I appreciate it. I'll take both.
More exciting. Your commercial was on. I was watching the NBA yesterday and your commercial was on all the time, which is a great commercial. I don't know who wrote the spot for you, but it is a microcosm of who you are. Humble, appreciative, and also the wink. When did the wink become a thing? Because now it feels like the fact that, you know, national commercials are branding you with a wink. This is a whole different Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, I feel like I've done it for a while, but it's catching fire, I guess. The AT&T spot was kind of fun. Whoever wrote it was genius. It was too easy. It was too well written for me to mess up. So that's why it's doing good.
I was going to say, how many takes with the wink?
The wink was an early take, and then we tried a bunch of different endings, as you guys know, all that stuff happens. But yeah, Lily, the female that works for AT&T, does all the commercials. She's awesome. She was a stud. Helped me through it. kind of showed me the ropes, made it easy for me. But the wink was an early thought.
Did you overthink it at all? I mean, I think this could be a Curb or Seinfeld episode where it's like, do I go hard? How did that play out for you?
Yeah, had I not had her, I would have been completely lost. I think they call it line.
Oscar alone.
They call it like line reading in the business, where you know, like the director would be like, "Hey, can you make me feel this way when you say this?" I'm like, "No," but if you tell me how you want it to sound, I can then repeat it for you. I was like, my whole life is somebody talks in my ear, I repeat that. So they did that for me a couple times, which I think is a no-no in the real biz, but they helped me out.
That's wonderful that you're always giving credit to other people. You know, it's somebody can give you the route to run or the play, you know, to initiate, but you have to actually do it. So part of that commercial, which I loved, and it was about talking about turning in your old phone after 12 years, the pun there, of course, was leaving Detroit. You still care so much about the city that made you who you are. You know, raising your family there, you and Kelly starting a life there together. When you look back on it now, does Detroit feel like a long time ago? Does it feel like, with everything that's happened to you within this last year, does it feel like you lived in Detroit 10 years ago?
Yeah, sometimes, for sure. I also haven't been back. You know, Kelly and I are going back this weekend, actually, for a charity thing that we kind of did right before we left, and they're starting to break ground on it. So we're pumped to go back and see some old buddies and do all that. And I'm sure that'll bring me right back, and it'll be like I left there yesterday. But at the moment, yeah, not having been back and all that's transpired in the last year, both for me professionally and us as a family, it definitely seems like a long time ago, but I still have a bunch of good friends and good people that I know there that I'm excited to go see. So I'm sure after this weekend, it'll feel a little bit different.
I was going to say, what are you anticipating? I mean, what do you even think that's going to be like for you?
Well, I got a video from my man Hank this morning, and it's snowing in Detroit currently. So yeah. I'm hoping that shit stops and I don't have to deal with that. I think it's supposed to be a little bit better by the time we get there, but I don't know. I'm excited
snowing,
to see some
it's
some
the
friends.
End of April.
How horrible is that?
Oh, also, look at your tan. I mean, Detroit, not only are they so sad you're gone, and I mean, I know you know all the stories about just how just appreciative, how they were in on the whole Super Bowl run for you. That was so cool. But I think they're going to be pissed about you walking back with that tan this weekend.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'll keep it indoors until Friday to try to get a little whiter. But no, it's pretty nice out here. I'm not going to lie. Easter outside was nice as opposed to Easter in the snow in Detroit.
Yeah.
You and I sat down for NFL films before the start of the season, and we talked about, you know, you come to LA and it's this whole idea that you're going to, you know, be brought in to bring this team to a place that they haven't been to in a while. Their last Super Bowl run fell short. So you're going to save this team, of course, with the help of some of the other big guys that they brought in. The storybook ending, the Hollywood ending, is you win the Super Bowl.
I can't believe you used that line in your interview, by the way, Carissa, because I used that too right before the NFC Championship. We uncovered that. I mean, what the hell?
But it actually happened.
I know.
So that's when you think about, of course, you put in all the work. I know you're at the breakfast. What do you and Cooper call your guys' breakfast meetings?
Breakfast club.
The breakfast club. So wait, well, I want to dive into that. 5:30 a.m. every morning? Where are you guys?
Yeah, it's
early.
Don't
tell us where you meet. But
in the QB room, just turn the tape on, watch, you know, whatever is kind of there for the day, talk about all sorts of things, drink some coffee, eat some breakfast, and kind of just get ahead. That's all. He's, you know, unlike any teammate I've ever had, just a great, great worker, great teammate. Part of that was him. Like, we didn't even talk about it. I went in there the normal time I used to go in when I was in Detroit, and I walked in there day one, and he was in there, and I was like, all right. So we just, this kind of organically happened. And every day of the year that we were in there at work, we were in there early.
I mean, so you put in the work as you have done for the previous 12 years of your career. And now last year, with all the pressure, you end up winning the Super Bowl. Was there a moment afterwards or even weeks afterwards that you thought to yourself, oh shit, I did it? Like, when did that oh shit moment I actually got the chip?
The first time that really kind of hit me was really during the game. AD makes the great play on fourth down that I did not know was fourth down because I couldn't watch or pay attention.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, I was sitting there on the bench just like, oh God. I wish it was me out there.
Take us through that. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, how the hell does that happen? Like, take us through that. So you know that's the, well, what the hell did you know?
Yeah, I didn't know that was fourth down at all.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I was eating a hot dog like Sanchez on the sideline, but I was sitting there and looking down. I was just looking down at my feet on the bench. Cooper, I think, was doing like the exact same thing down, four or five seats away from me. But I thought that was, to be honest with you, I thought it was third down.
Third.
I think I missed the run, on third down, and incomplete pass. AD makes an unbelievable rush, gets Joe to, have to throw away before he wants and scramble around, do all that whole thing. And then people start going crazy on the sideline. I was like, what is going on? And one of our younger receivers came up and was like, we won, whatever. That was fourth down. I was like, holy shit. But I kind of went like right before I stepped back on the field, it just kind of hit me, kind of went down into a squat, and Sean ran over to me and was just hugging me up and stuff and talking about how excited we were. But that was kind of the first time. And then as far as afterwards, I don't know, there was, a week or two that was a little bit of a blur, but it was a whole lot of fun. I just celebrated with all the people that helped me get there. That was the cool part, was being able to do that with teammates and family and all that kind of stuff.
Can I go back to the fourth down? I don't know if you ever saw, what was it, the 30 for 30, where they did the Fab Five. And I thought one of the best things about it was where they showed the timeout and all you heard was like a heartbeat. And it was so well done. What are you hearing at that moment, Matthew, where you don't know if it's third or fourth down? Are you hearing your heartbeat? Are you hearing the music? Like, what the hell is going on in your head?
To be honest with you, I don't know why I wasn't watching. I have so much trust in our defense. I think that's what I was just saying to the ground. I was probably just going, hey, one stop. And, the first play, I thought Jalen, to be honest with you, I watched the very first play of that drive. And they throw that little stop route to Ja'Marr Chase. And I thought, I was like watching Jalen for some reason. And he had such a good break on it. And if he looks back, I think he picks it and runs it back for like a game-winning pick six. He just went for the tackle. Ja'Marr made a great play. And they got it out to, whatever that was, like the 40, 45 on the first play. And then I'm like, all right, well, me standing and watching is bad luck. So I'm going to sit my ass down and stare at the ground and see if that brings us some better luck. And then it did.
Are you superstitious?
A little bit. Grew up playing baseball a little bit. So I have, a few things here and there. But I'm like, something's not working. If I'm sitting down on the sideline and our defense is just shutting people out, then no reason for me to get up and kind of vice versa.
What I love about that story is, of course, your wonderful wife, Kelly, who we love and adore. And she also has a great podcast for anyone that hasn't heard, The Morning After.
Really good.
She tells some stories. Oh, my God. The college stories especially get me. The fact that she couldn't watch either, and she was in the hallway with her head down, not watching the last drive, and somebody thought that she was sick, like had drank too much, and they're like, ma'am, do you need help?
Or sleepy.
She was definitely not sleepy, but we know someone else. Wake them up. Neither of you guys couldn't watch is cute, and sort of speaks to the fact that you just have trust in, what is going to be. But that's so awesome. I mean, I had the privilege of covering you for a long time with my NFC North assignments. And there was a lot of games where, we're on the other side of that. So biggest thing for you in your life that's changed since winning the Super Bowl is?
Oh, man. Shorter off season for sure. We start tomorrow, which blows my mind. I don't know. To be honest with you, my day-to-day is pretty similar. For the most part, the people that I knew and talked to before, I still know and talk to, and there's not too much of a difference. Probably more opportunities to do AT&T commercials and things like that. But from the day-to-day, I'm just getting ready to go play another season. And I think a fun moment will be the ring ceremony. Like whenever we get that, whenever that happens, just getting that same group, because our group is going to be different. But getting that group back together that won that Super Bowl, players and coaches that have moved on to bigger and better stuff, to get those guys back in the building and be able to hang with them will be a lot of fun.
I have 17,000 questions for you. can I ask, I think you mentioned this, I don't know, maybe last week, but I want to know the song. Is there a song that you listened to maybe before you went out on the field for the Super Bowl? Or is there a go-to song you've had since UGA or anything like that?
I am not a huge pregame music guy. I kind of, to be honest with you, especially when we play, away games or even home games, a lot of guys like to like put that on to kind of get lost and, listen to what they're familiar to. I kind of like the opposite. I like to hear the opposing fans screaming at me or the home fans cheering for me. I like, part of that to me is the fun part of why I get to, I do what I do. Like no other part of your life, you walk around and people are either cheering for you or cheering against you. You don't go to the grocery store and people do that. So it's like, it's kind of fun. It gets
you go to the Whole Foods on Lincoln. It's the huge, huge contingent.
Huge crowd. Huge crowd.
Fans there. You'll get it.
Catch them late. Catch them after happy hour. It's dangerous.
Produce section. They are lively.
But, you know, it's just like, it helps me get in it. I enjoy that whole atmosphere. So I don't really do that. The only time I really listen to music, to be honest with you, so we play in New York City. I usually listen to a little Frank Sinatra. New York, just to kind of get it going. I don't know. It's just the feel I get on there. So I like playing there.
The same pregame music. Mellow. Yeah,
so.
What about, what was the first tune that you remember hearing, maybe with like four cigars hanging out of your mouth, like once you want anything? Come on now.
Oof, I don't even know if I can, I can't point one out. I just know right when I walked into the locker room, it was like cigar in my mouth, Bud Light, and somebody handed me Pappy Van Winkle straight out of the bottle. I'm like, all right, we're doing this.
Great.
And it was a fun 48 hours, really 24 until I had to wake up and take my kids to Disneyland the next day, which was a beating, but it was fun.
It was an epic video that Kelly put on her podcast. The video of you just walking straight into the pool. So where was this a just for a way for you to wake up? Was it a bet? What's the story behind that?
This was after an hour of sleep on my couch with like one foot on the ground and doing her podcast, which I don't know. I mean, I was just struggling through.
That's a great husband right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I needed a little pick me up. I knew we had 9 a.m. I believe the Disneyland bus was outside the front door to take us. So I was like, phew, I need to spark it up a little bit here and just went face first in there to a cold pool to try to wake me up.
Matthew, Super Bowl post game party. What do you regret? What are you glad you got to do? And what do you wish you had done more of? Any of that?
Regret? Not much. I mean, the hardest thing for me was like, there were a ton of people. We had like a little after party thing, and there were a ton of people that, whether it would be high school buddies, college, people I met while I'm in the NFL, family, like it was hard to spend time with everybody. I got to say hi to everybody I feel like I wanted to say hi to. If I missed you, I'm sorry, but that would be the only regret, is maybe not being able to spend as much time as
like
I wanted to with everybody. Yeah, exactly. highlights, I mean, the whole thing was a blast. I think really even before the party, the thing I'll remember the most and like cherish the most that I got with the microphone on, filmed, you know, for the NFL, is that time with my family down on the field, which was super cool. To be able to have the audio and the video of that is awesome. I mean, went to Drake's, which was fun. Don't know why I was there, but I was there. Don't know who else was there. It was dark and it was late.
Well, guys, look, I've been studying all weekend for this Congratulations, Ren. We're so excited for you, for all things, and for Rams fans, for you to run it back.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. The all-new 2025 Infiniti QX80 was just revealed, and it's completely reimagining the luxury SUV experience. The QX80 actually anticipates your needs. It senses when your passengers are hot and automatically cools them down. And individual audio technology keeps everybody entertained while it separates music, phone calls, or Navi directions just for you. Discover an all-new way to feel just right and check out the all-new QX80 for yourself. Visit new-qx80.com. 2025 QX80 coming this summer.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help,
call 1-800-GAMBLER.